Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about joy in the Christian life and joy in the Christian faith. Where do we find it? Have you lost it? Should we even have it? Is this something that God would give us? This is what I'd like to talk with you about today, joy in God. And why? Because I think many Christians are still, at least in the back of their minds, under this impression that in order to be a holy and good Christian, you need to be somber, sad, and sorrowful before the Lord. In fact, I've heard some of you tell me stories of your childhood growing up in church, where if you smiled or if you laughed out loud in church, that you'd get a stern look from your parents or from the pastor. And even if maybe we don't go that far these days, I think we still have it in our minds that to be a Christian, you need to be somber, serious, grave, and yes, German. Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who was on the Supreme Court for 30 years, said, "I might have entered the ministry if I had not known so many ministers who seemed to me like undertakers." Well, the Christian faith is serious, my friends, right? It's the way, the truth, and the life through faith in Jesus Christ by grace. But it is serious, and we ought to be serious, but does that mean we ought always to be sorrowful or sad or somber? Is that what it's about? What about joy? We just read a few moments ago in the Psalm 86, David says this. This is his prayer. "Incline thy ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I'm poor and needy. Gladden the soul of thy servant, for to thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Gladden the soul of thy servant. What about having a glad soul? Is this a Christian thing? Would you like to find a joy in God that can't be taken away from you? Well, today then, this is what I want to talk with you about, is joy in the Christian life. And if your joy has dimmed a bit, I want to kindle it. And we got to ask some questions. Where do we find it? How do we get it? Where do we find it again if we've lost it? And does God really want us joyful? Is this really his will for us or not? What kind of a God is he? So this is our subject today. Let's see what God would speak to us then about joy to his children. Well, the first thing we need to acknowledge is that there are times in life for sadness. You've met the Christians who are in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. You know that song? Are Christians really in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time? If you meet a Christian like that, number one, they can be annoying because I'm not always that happy. Number two, you know they're not being totally sincere because there are sad times in life, and Scripture holds this out to us. There are times when it's holy to have sorrow. For example, let's take a look at Romans 12 would be one place where Paul says in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." So God actually says and commands, if your brother or sister is in tears, it's holy for you to share tears with them and so help to bear their pain. That's a holy and a good thing before God. So there's that. There's also Philippians chapter 2, where Paul has a friend, Epaphroditus, who's sick. He's near to death. He recovers. And Paul says of him, "Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So I'm eager to send him to you, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious." In other words, if Epaphroditus had died, he would have had sorrow upon sorrow. Death, the sorrow at the death of a loved one, that's holy in God's sight. Don't you remember Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus, whom he was about to raise from the dead? It's okay. It's good. Let yourself, at times, be sad. It's part of life, and God smiles even while he weeps with you in those times. How about, third, there's a time to be sorrowful over our sins. Jeremiah says in Lamentations, the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. So there are times to be sorrowful. But does that mean we're always to be sorrowful as Christians and somber and grave and serious in German? Does that mean also that we're supposed to be inright, outright, upright, downright happy all the time? Well, we're both of these. Happy at times, sad at times, but beyond all these, I want you to note and mark something. God tells us always to rejoice. There is a rejoicing in God that goes deeper than all the surface emotions that we have through our life circumstances, something that's anchored deep in the heart of God, where God wants us always to rejoice. And Martin Luther, this is Reformation Sunday, said, God is the enemy of sorrow. Just think of how he tries to destroy it. He sends his word. He sends his son. He sends his gospel. He gives us the sacraments. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his promise of life in order to do what? To destroy sorrow and sadness forever. God is a God of joy. How do you see him when you think about God? Is God standing up there saying, rejoice before me? Is that really how he is? He does command us to rejoice, but is this the kind of God that you see when you pray to him? You know, sometimes we're all laughing. Now it's time to pray. Bow your heads and pray. Close your eyes. And all of a sudden we're somber and all the energy's out of us when we turn to prayer. What's that about? Is this Christian? Well, let me see if I can prove to you today, start out, that God is a God of joy. In the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, says this, a joyful heart, God says, is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart is a good medicine. This is a word from your good God, a joyful God. How about Psalm 66? It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And David says in Psalm 4, you've put more joy in my heart, O Lord, than they have when their grain and wine abound. And he says in Psalm 5, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield. Remember in the Old Testament, David, when he danced before the Lord, jumping up and down and singing through the streets before the Ark of the Covenant? And what did his stoic Lutheran wife, Michael, say? You should not have danced and disgraced yourself like this before the people. And David says, it was right for me to do so, right? And she had no children, actually, the rest of her life on account of it. Now, don't read into that too much. But God says in the Old Testament, even the trees clap their hands and the mountains sing for joy before the Lord. And if God's a God of joy, he wants his people to be a people of joy. In the New Testament, he says things like this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice, Philippians 4. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, we're treated as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. In Romans 14, he says, the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. What did Jesus say in the gospel lesson? I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. John 15, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. And John says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and we're writing this, that our joy may be complete. So we ought to flee sadness. Do you know when there is bad preaching? Or when there is Satan at work in your life, he leaves behind a stench, Luther says. It's like a fox in the hen house. Even after all the feathers have flown this way and that, and the fox is gone, you can still smell his scent. And the scent of our enemy of our souls is sorrow and sadness. Wherever he goes, that's what he's trying to do. That's the devil's joy, is to kill you by sorrow. Is he doing a good job? Has he made some inroads? Is he jumping over that dilapidated fence into your pasture in order to produce this in you? Well, I want to encourage you today. These scriptures teach us God is a God of joy. He has come ultimately to destroy sadness. It says in Isaiah 26 of the resurrection, your dead bodies shall live, their bodies shall rise, you who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of life, and the earth will give birth to her dead. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isn't that great? When we hang out or live before God for all eternity, we're not living with a grump. We're not living with an old, stoic killjoy, which is, I think, what we still have up there in our minds sometimes when you think about God. Oh, I'm having a great time. Let's pray. Be serious, be grave, be somber, for this is the Lord. Is that true? Come on, these scriptures say he's a God of joy. I remember when I was a boy, I used to have this problem, and I still wrestle with it, but the idea of God being so reverently awesome up there that I couldn't even picture him smiling. Can you? I remember my grandmom sending me a picture once of a card that said, the Fellowship of Merry Christians. And it had a picture of Jesus by the seaside on a boat with nets behind him, holding onto a rope and smiling with an over, just his joy oozing and effervescently filling his face at his resurrection and salvation he gives to people. And I remember how that changed me so much, because until then I was like, I'd never seen Jesus or thought of him laughing or smiling. Well, guess what? God is a God of joy. It's everywhere in scriptures, and his purpose is to destroy sorrow and sadness. And so if you've lost it today, how do we get it back? What kinds of things can we do to reacquire joy, that you always rejoice before him? Well, give me some suggestions. See what you think. Here's some options. Try harder. Be better Christians. This is a three-point sermon. Try harder, be better Christians, do more good works. Is that going to help you? Is there joy in good works if you just try to get your joy that way? How about be in better company? Stop hanging around with the bad folks. Read your scripture more, then your joy will increase. How about this? Do all of God's commands, that this may please God, and you find joy. If that doesn't work, go into creation. Take a trip. Go hiking. Go canoeing. Everybody out in nature feels better, right? Is that where you're going to find joy? How about in a counselor? Tell him your problems, or her. Lay down. Pour it out. If that doesn't work, do like most of us. Sit down and watch the TV or take in a movie. Get out in public. You're hanging out too much by yourself these days. Cheer up. Or go away by yourself. You need more time alone. Or follow some of the earthly pleasures of life. See if these help. Well, if any of these and all of these don't work, and believe me, they won't, then cry out to your pastor and say, where does God point me to find my joy? And I'll say, gladly, I'll show you where to go. Martin Luther had a miserable life. He tried all these things, good works, reading the scriptures more, obeying all of God's commands, getting in good company at a monastery, spending time alone in solitary, getting with people, having a counselor, Master Staupitz, tried everything to find joy. Couldn't find it because he didn't have it right with God. Where did he find it? He said, I hated this just God because God gave me a law to keep that I could not keep by which to be saved. I can't attain to the righteousness God wants. And he pondered, and he studied, and he prayed over Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, until finally he understood, and God enlightened him to see that It's the righteousness of God given to him as a gift by which he's saved. In other words, grace. He's saved as a gift God bestows upon him. And he says, when I understood this, I felt as though heaven were open and I walked through open gates into paradise. And my point with you this morning is this. Finding joy, where is it to be found in the Christian life? Where is it to be found in the Christian faith? I'll tell you, in grace. In grace and grace alone. That God sent his only Son to be our Savior, to rescue us freely because of his love for us. And so you could go out and do all the things you want, good works, read the Bible more, be with better Christians, go into creation, have a counselor. None of these are going to help until you are founded and find your joy in grace and grace alone. That God loves you apart from the works that you did. In fact, all your works were evil. He loved you and sent his Son to be your Savior to redeem you freely by his grace. And grace alone. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. I was trying to prepare the sermon this week, and I knew what I wanted to say. I knew where joy is to be found, but I still wasn't feeling it. Yesterday morning, I remember laying in bed and still feeling kind of tight in my chest. I said, I'm just going to go for this sermon and apply it to myself. And I just went over Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 again and again. For by grace you've been saved. For by grace you've been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. Not your own doing. Not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works. Lest any man should boast. And again, by grace you've been saved. And you know what? I found my heart starting to lift like a balloon. Just soaring up into the sky. Because it's not what we do, but what God has done for us, that gives us the joy. And can you feel that joy raising in you right now? For God loved the world, that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn you, but that you might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Can you hear this from God? If you believe in Christ, you've believed in Christ, your sins are forgiven. God says to you, I do not condemn you. Go in peace. Go in peace. I am on your side. This I know, that God is for me. God says to you, I love you. And that's why it depends on faith, says Paul in Romans 4, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how do I know that I'm reading about this grace rightly? The Roman Catholics were teaching, you know, grace is a power God gives you to live a righteous life and thereby earn heaven. How do I know grace is just the gift of God? Well, these are the words that are attached to it in Scripture. Free gift. Not of works. Not of yourselves. Gift. And if it is by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would not be grace, Romans 11. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And he, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And so as long as you're living with God under the law and how much you do in order to get your joy, guess what? It's going to be like living in the darkness of nighttime. The law was a shining light, like the moon on a dark night. The moon shines, but does it dispel the darkness? No, it's still night. But when the sun rises in the morning, the new and better covenant in Jesus Christ, all the darkness of sadness and sorrow flees away. And you got to let this happen for yourselves today. Luther said, you have as much laughter in your life as you have faith. Faith in the grace of God, which then makes reading the scriptures, doing good works, being in better company, going out and taking a canoe ride, watching TV or going to a movie, joyful. Because These are all parts of the house founded upon grace, where is only to be found your joy. So if joy has not sunk into you yet today, or if it's starting to, here's my prescription. Go over Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Daily and 100 times, by grace you've been saved, until, and it will produce in you what God desires, joy. For I'll tell you, he's the enemy of sorrow, and his purpose is to destroy sadness once and for all, especially at his coming. Yes, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, he says. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to God, for he's done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we come to a very special joy for us. Naomi has completed instruction with me at home, sufficient for the Lord's Supper. And we're going to continue confirmation after this. But Naomi and Beth, would you like to come forward?